Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining me today. I've got a quick show planned for you. I was on Fault Lines this morning talking about Syria, talking about the Farm Bill, talking about my interview with Jordan Sheridan in regard to Flint, which people seem to be overwhelmingly misunderstanding. It's actually a very, very big deal that's not being covered. But that being said, I was up extremely early to be on a Washington, D.C. radio show, so I'm very tired. So today will be a short show. Unfortunately, no T-Lab research and review, but we've got some interesting stuff to get into today. Clearly, a lot of people are talking about the economy. That's clearly, you know, what they're wanting us to be focusing on today. But I think it should be clear to those that have been paying attention that this is really just the truth squeaking out, finally, about what's been going on all along. All of the doctored numbers and manipulation, the things they tell us, oh, the economy's booming and the jobs are up, and it's really just the way that they've tweaked the numbers. And it's been like this for a long time, well before Donald Trump. Same way with Obama, same way with Bush. They manipulate the numbers to get you to think everything's doing well. But for whatever reason now, it's seemingly squeaking out. And you could argue that's because there are people battling behind the scenes, which likely seems, you know, to be entirely possible and probably happening. But, you know, one side saying it has to do with the interest rates and with the Fed. And, you know, and as I would say, clearly, as Trump had said before he got elected, if that's the case, well, then end the Fed. Pretty simple example there that you could, you know, make it clear that you're on one side and they're on the other. I kind of don't think that's the case. Doesn't mean it's not important. However, where we're headed now is something that many people such as James Corbett and many others have been saying that's going to be happening for a long time. But then again, so have a lot of economists, and they tend to be wrong quite often. Anyway, definitely an important topic, but there's just a few things that I want to talk about today in addition to that in regard to, guess what, foreign policy that I think are very important. The first one I think is a humorous story, but is important for many different reasons. And that is, of course, that Donald Trump apparently forgot that, he said we defeated ISIS and tweets out about how they're going to now have to deal with ISIS. Now, the image I use there, I think, is very funny. Of course, people on one side are going to be very angry that this is how dare you? It's all about Donald Trump. You hate Trump. You know, you must be a Democrat. No, and people always want to put you in one of these boxes. I would be making fun of this exact same thing. And I did when it was Obama, as well as when it was Bush. It has nothing to do with Donald Trump or one side of the false two-party lie. It's the fact that a person in that White House who is representing to, you know, control everything that's happening in this country, even though we know that's not true, just literally tweeted out yesterday, which with the point we knew was a lie, that essentially ISIS was defeated. The U.S. defeated ISIS, and that was the only reason we were there, by the way, has to include that, even though Bolton just said we were there about Iran, and so did Pompeo and Mattis, and on. All those contradictions aside, all of that aside, we now have the opposite coming out. Well, actually, before I even get to that, the point is that so he has, you know, we defeated ISIS, as I just said. The only reason for being there, more than once, in fact, just in case that wasn't a mistake, after historic victory against ISIS, it's over, we win. And then tweets out today, Russia, Iran, Syria, and many others are not happy about the U.S. leaving, despite what the fake news says. And this is why he did this, not realizing he was going to contradict himself, trying to say, well, the fake news is lying. Even, and I agree, they are lying. They always lie. When he goes on to say, because now they will have to fight ISIS and others. Wait a minute. Fight ISIS? Hold on. Maybe he's going to finish it with something that says, who they hate without us. I'm building by far the most powerful military in the world. His classic hyperbole, which is actually true in this case. ISIS hits us, they're doomed. But how can ISIS hit us if they've just been defeated? Now, of course, maybe people are saying, oh, you're just taking them out of context. This is all just semantics and there's different things going on. And maybe so. But we have to recognize that today he comes out with a tweet claiming that they're going to have to be dealing with this. Literally after saying yesterday that they were defeated. And the only real explanation here is to point out that either there's multiple groups of ISIS out there, which is certainly possible, which I think we all know is not the case. But the reason this is important is to show that this is all propaganda, the whole story. To quickly touch back on the overarching topic of Syria, it's really about all the proxy armies that currently exist there that the U.S. is funding and controlling and protecting. So whether they pull out their 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 troops, the numbers vary depending on who you're talking to. It's a token number. Because the reality and the power, just like it is in Yemen, is with their proxy armies and their terrorists they fund to continue to destabilize Syria. And that's if they even actually do pull out. But let's just say, hypothetically, Trump decided to pull everybody out of Syria, stop funding all of their proxies. That would be an amazing thing. Because then the media wants you to think otherwise. Oh, we need war. We need to war and battle against all these people. How dare we need to keep risking American lives for nothing. That's what they want you to think. See, so there's not there's more than two sides here. By making fun of Trump's absurd, contradicting himself does not put you in the camp with the media. They're both lying to you. And that's what's important to see. But what I argue is probably going to happen, I bet you they probably will pull out their so many troops and probably leave a couple secret ones in there like they always do and not tell us about, or just, hire the mercenaries, the military groups in the background that aren't technically U.S. troops to continue on all the same stuff. As again, I said most of this morning on Fault Lines. But it's important that we see that this absurdity, that the people that support him will not acknowledge the fact that he literally just said that we defeated ISIS. Even if you just think, oh, well, he spoke out of turn, it's still ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous to see such a statement and know that that was the leader of a country. Basically just saying something that he just wants to put on record that we won, we're leaving, it's over, and then it's going to carry on just as it has before. Very sad. And as the media completely lies to you and warmongers like they all do. That's including Fox News, by the way. It's a very sad story. So I wanted to begin with that to put it out to show you that this is what we're dealing with today. Censorship, manipulation, propaganda, everywhere. That's why we should be, questioning everything all the time. Now, in regard to censorship, one of the stories I'm going because I'm going to repost the recording like I always have to. Look like I just popped back. Hope I didn't lose you guys. Hope I didn't cut my video in half as the stream just dropped out. Well, the next one I thought was interesting that we just touched on was coming from the Daily Mail. Entitled, Sweden vows to ban all religious schools in an effort to tackle segregation after taking a record number of asylum seekers. That's quite a title. Very important, right? Look, and they make sure they capitalize that to ban all religious schools. All religious schools. Oh, except for Jewish ones. Jewish schools will be exempt from the new ban. It's just unbelievable to me to see how this stuff is progressing. Now, I'll let you make your own conclusions about what this means. But it is impossible not to recognize the very clear double standard exemption in most things today that apply to any discussion of Israel, any discussion of Jewish people, any discussion of any of this stuff. Good or bad, it's just off the table today. Banning all religious schools, but we're going to let the Jewish ones stay. That is very weird. And now people, again, always try to make this in regard to a one-party thing in this country. That only the Democrats are on this side. No, it's not. It's most of our politicians are in the pocket of the Israeli lobby, as well as many other lobbies. But we're talking about Jews in Israel right now. Doesn't mean all of them are bad, not by a long shot. But the point is that the Zionist-controlled government of Israel is very clearly powerful and has reached its fingers into very many other governments. It's a very scary thing to see. So I wanted to point this out to show us yet another just obvious example. And remember what we just talked about in regard to the teacher being fired for not signing an oath to Israel. Instead, she wants the right to her free speech to boycott anything she wants, including Israel, for the BDS movement, boycott, divestment, and sanctions. And because she refused to sign it, she was fired. And there's just a multitude of examples like this. So I wanted to be sure and point this out because I found this to be just a very alarming thing that people pretend is not happening. And on the extreme side of that same topic, there are people that want to tell you that all Jews are bad, and that's wrong too. We need some discernment today, people. We need to think for ourselves and stop being cast into one of two categories. The world is not black and white, so we cannot be either. For the next story, I think is very important as well, that all these stories really kind of highlight a lot of larger problems and a lot of ways expose things that we've been trying to say for a long time. This coming from Zero Hedge, CNN's Journalist of the Year committed journalistic fraud, quote, on a grand scale. According to Der Spiegel. Very, very interesting. How funny, of course, that CNN, of all people, gives them the Journalist of the Year award, or this person. Now, the German news magazine Der Spiegel has admitted that one of its top reporters has faked stories for several years. Faked stories. award-winning journalist. I believe it's Klaus Rotoltas. I mean, it's probably French. I'm just going to say Klaus for the future of this discussion. Had, quote, made up stories and invented propagandists. Basically invented the people they're trying to point at to say, oh, you know, that's, for instance, let's just say Russia or Assad. That's what that would be referring to if they were talking about Syria or Russia. And apparently in approximately 14 out of 60 articles. So 14 different articles, he fabricated content. And again, this is the CNN's Journalist of the Year. Now, these appeared in both print and online editions. Now, he worked for Der Spiegel for 7 years. Winning numerous awards for his investigative journalism, as I said, including the CNN Journalist of the Year Award for 2014. Now, Klaus, 33 years old, he tendered his resignation after openly admitting to this fraud. So these aren't claims. He admitted to this. He openly said, I committed fraud. Now, earlier this month, Klaus won Germany's Reporter of the Year, an honor for his story about specifically, guess what? A young Syrian boy. Which he's now admitting that he fabricated information about. Now, since the report was written, it has emerged that basically all of the sources were hazy at best, they say. And most of what he wrote was actually completely fabricated. Now, what does this draw to mind? Stories of like, you know, the Bana, a little girl screaming about, oh, we need to protect our Syrian terrorists is what it's really about. It's these propaganda efforts. Or Omran, the little boy in the back of the ambulance. These are propaganda. And we've shown this, people have exposed this, but now we actually have one of the people writing stories about Syria in this specific case coming out and saying, I can't do this anymore. I've been lying the whole time. Now, according to The Guardian, it goes on to say the falsification came to light after a colleague who worked with him on a story along the U.S.-Mexican border, another interesting topic, of course, raised suspicions about some of the details in his reporting, having harbored doubts about him for some time. The colleague, Juan Moreno, eventually tracked down two alleged sources quoted extensively in the article about the Mexican border, you know, this hyper-politicized event, which was published in November. Now, both said they had never even met Klaus. He had also apparently lied about seeing a hand-painted sign that read, Mexicans keep out. Now, this is exactly what we're talking about. These people have fabricated a number of different things, and this in and of itself should call into question all of these groups. At the very least, begin to make you say, maybe I should actually question everything. Maybe I should start going, maybe CNN's lying to me. Maybe Fox News is lying to me. Maybe they're bending the truth or fabricating sources to be able to get their point across, their politicized point. You know, we're long past the days of them pretending that they're, you know, equal and unbalanced. There are Republican and Democrat stations, which in and of itself is contradictory to the entire job of being a journalist. Now, it goes on to say other fraudulent stories included one about, guess what, a Yemeni prisoner in Guantanamo Bay, and one about the American football star Colin Kaepernick. I bet you could make a list of every single hyper-politicized, pushed-in-your-face story, and you could probably find a fabricated one to boot. Now, Klaus said that he was deeply ashamed for his fabrications, claiming, quote, I am sick, and I need to get help. Of course, you know, in a large way, making it seem like it's only his fault. But I highly doubt that's the case. I'd be willing to bet that there was more people involved that nudged things in a certain direction. And he's sick with himself for letting his, you know, just, you know, refusing his morals and saying, screw it, I'm going to do this to get ahead. Now, on that same point, it says after being confronted by a senior editor, Klaus finally caved and admitted to the fraud. In his concession, he said, quote, it wasn't because of the next big thing. It was fear of failing. My pressure to not be able to fail got even bigger the more successful I became. Now, where do you think that pressure not to fail comes from? I'll let you work that out. Now, the point here is that this is exactly what, like, Caitlin Johnstone just wrote about. These people work themselves into these positions, and we get this blanket, like, this righteousness about them, like, oh, well, because they're journalists, that they must be seeking the right, you know, the right thing. But in reality, this entire profession has been cultivated over the years to this exact thing. People going through school, they recognize, well, this is what these journalists are doing. They're, you know, establishment lapdogs. They're continuing to back this regardless of what the facts say. So if I want to succeed in this industry, that's what I need to do. And so people fall their way in, just like this man, where now he's openly saying, I can't do this anymore. I've been lying about all this stuff. And guess what? Their editors, the people involved, the people who called him the Journalist of the Year likely were largely aware of his fabrications of this information. at least the editors, knowing that these people are using things that can't be verified. That's what their job is, to verify the information. Now, I just hope this can really resonate with some people out there to recognize that both sides, Fox News, CNN, Washington Post, New York Times, all this stuff, these people have a political agenda, which should call into question anything that they do. It doesn't mean it's false, but it should call it into question, just like you would question independent media. At the same time, we have to recognize that groups like Washington Post have a CIA contract. So clearly there's other reasons to be like, yeah, maybe they might lie to us. But at the end of the day, I hope that this can wake some people up to the fact that you may, just may, be being lied to. Maybe, you know, the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act and the concept that propaganda is legal in this country may just play a factor in that whole thing. If you want to look into that more, I have other videos you can look into. Smith-Mundt Modernization Act. But let's move on to the final story of the day, something I do think is very important. And I'll let you guys go enjoy the rest of your Thursday. This is coming from South Front. And this is something we've been warning about. Now, this could just be more propaganda coming from Ukraine, but I don't think so, based on what we've seen. This entitled War Provocations. Ukraine plans to sail warships through Kerch Strait with the OSCE and NATO representatives on board. Now, that's crazy. Now, we've actually talked about the fact that NATO has openly said that they have the backing of NATO to do this already, which we actually also know is the truth, but on record is a big deal. Now, this ultimately is getting very serious. Now, Ukraine is apparently preparing for another war provocation, which is what the first one was, a war provocation on their end, in the Kerch Strait, the strait leading from the Black Sea into the Sea of Azov, and in an attempt to essentially instigate a military tension between, or rather a military provocation or reaction from Russia, I would argue. Now, on December 19th, the Ukrainian Secretary of the National Security and Defense Council, I'm not even trying to pronounce his name, said that the Ukrainian Navy is planning to send ships to pass through the Kerch Strait with officials from the OSCE, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, and other international organizations such as NATO on board. The secretary stated, quote, "We must prove to the whole world that Ukraine has not lost its positions in the Sea of Azov and that this is a sea where international law is in force, despite the fact that it's not," which is absurd. We're talking, well, I shouldn't say international law, but the concept that it's international waters, which is what he's alluding to, because they're not international waters. And he goes on to say, "And both Ukrainian and foreign ships can stay there." Now, there's no arguing that Ukrainian ships have a right to pass in there. All they have to do is adhere to the same agreement that they've been adhering to all the way up until this point, which is simply to communicate with Russia as they pass through the strait. Pretty simple. They've been doing it all the way up until this point, until I think they were nudged by the U.S. and NATO to create this whole conflict. And now they're pretending like this was an atrocity. They're taking this from us. When in reality, they've made an agreement to work, and like we pointed out, and like Garland Nixon pointed out in a past show when I was on his show, that it's the same thing when you go in areas of the United States, that you have to take on a pilot, someone has to communicate with you, so you're not just this aimless ship running into the area. As I pointed out in the past, in the same context of understanding that both the Ukraine and U.S. commentators have openly alluded to the concept of maybe we should just blow this bridge up, the bridge connecting over the Kerch Strait from Russia to Crimea. So they have every reason to be worried about something that could happen. Now, the secretary also claimed that the Ukrainian warships would continue to pass through the Kerch Strait, regardless. Like, they're just going right over the top of what they're saying. And he says, quote, "This is a matter of principle for us. If we stop and yield, Russia will actually fulfill its task of seizing the Sea of Azov and present new self-defined sea borders in the Black Sea to the world, de facto legalizing the occupation of Crimea." So many fallacies in this statement. First of all, that they're seizing the Sea of Azov, which I just basically explained is not the truth, which is pretty obvious. And then the fact that Crimea, as we've roundly pointed out, voted almost like I think it was something like 90% to leave the currently, you know, the coup that took place in Ukraine with the United States in 2014 became basically a neo-Nazi government. Crimea said, yeah, we don't want anything to do with that, voted to leave, and then voted to be annexed by Russia. And so this is the point being that this was all legitimate, which is generally what the international community recognizes. But just like the United States does, they are just forcing that lie in hopes that it just takes flight. Now, he also said, the secretary, that the international representatives from the OSCE and other organizations – have been invited to take part in the passage from the Ukrainian Black Sea ports to the Ukrainian ports on the Sea of Azov. Now, what's funny there, open Ukrainian ports in the Sea of Azov, as if they're trying to pretend like they don't have access, when in reality, they clearly do. They're just refusing to follow the agreements that have already been preset that they already agreed to. It's all pretty simple if you just look at all the information. But when the point that I want to make here is that this very well could just be the Ukraine saying this without NATO and the OSCE actually being on board with getting on board their ships and doing this, which is likely. However, I argue NATO has already been clear about the fact that they want the Ukraine to do this. Now, the secretary was also asked regarding the imposition of martial law, because we've talked about the idea of Poroshenko initiating martial law in areas within the Ukraine. Now, the secretary said that when the Ukrainian ships were seized and that there were injuries, that was unwarranted aggression that they required a response. And we know that it wasn't unwarranted, as I just explained. They knew very well what was required of them to pass through the strait, and they just charged through anyway in the hopes that people wouldn't understand the context and would again just point to the boogeyman of Russia and say they must be at fault. Now, Russia has maintained, of course, that it does not wish for and will not initiate a military escalation with the Ukraine, which, take it or leave it, based on their actions thus far, that does seem like the truth. And they go on to say that there's no evidence to back up any of the Kiev government's claims of the allegedly Russian, you know, their preparations for a full-scale invasion. Now, you can very clearly show that they're beefing up their protections in Crimea, which is rightfully their area at this point because Crimea asked to be annexed by Russia. But the idea that they're building up some kind of an invasion of the Ukraine, you know, that's, you could argue that that's not true. I do want to point to the fact that they are building up in Crimea. So that could very well be what the Ukraine's talking about, just to be, you know, show you both sides here. Now, Moscow will be forced to respond, as they're also saying, to the Kiev government if they stage another provocation, which is what this seems like they're about to do in the Kerch Strait. Now, there are no doubts that the Kiev government understands this and is intentionally working to escalate the situation, just as we pointed out with the agreement they made with the United States, what, 4 days before the last Kerch incident, that they agreed to let's create the conditions to justify this kind of an action. And then it just happened. They don't want you to think about that. Don't disregard that statement. It has nothing to do with this, but clearly it's exactly what we're talking about today. We've also pointed out the concept of them, the claims of them creating some kind of another provocation, a false flag attack or a chemical attack. And all these things should play into your mind, especially more than anything, that this is an illegitimate government. This is a neo-Nazi government with the Poroshenko leadership that was put in place by force from the United States. Just yet another example of an illegal coup, an illegal shift of power by the United States and the West. And at the end of the day, that means that anything they do from there forward is illegitimate. And that's what we have to focus on. Now, thank you for tuning in today. I've tried to make this a shorter one because I've got to get some rest myself personally, but there's a lot of things to talk about today. So I hope you will research these things for yourself and recognize that we're being lied to by the mainstream media, which I think most of you are largely aware of, and that there's a lot of cross purposes out there. But all we have to rely on is the information that we have in front of us, which could be doctored, could be fabricated, you know, doctored like the water results from Flint that we just reported with Jordan Sheridan, which I hope you'll check out for yourself because it's a pretty damning thing that people are ignoring. But we know that the things that could be manipulated. So at the end of the day, all we can do is trust in our own judgment and not fall victim to one side of a two-party lie, not fall victim to people emotionally outraging you. Just look at everything in front of you and question everything. It's that's the world we're in today. So it's important to do so. I love you all. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.